Good afternoon and welcome to Cape Light Compact Focus on Energy, a monthly program designed to bring you timely information on various energy topics of interest to Cape Cod. We've used this program over the last 6 years to try to keep you up to date on the initiatives of the Cape Light Compact, which is part of the Barnstable County government. We also serve Martha's Vineyard under an agreement with Dukes County. I'm John Burns, your host, a retired energy efficiency program planner at the Cape Light Compact, which is located in the Superior Courthouse at Barnstable. We thought it would be a good idea, in light of a recent article in the Cape Cod Times regarding the Cape Light Compact power supply, to go back to basics and talk about some of the functions of the organization, the competitive power supply market, and how the functions are intertwined. Joe Sorries is a senior power supply planner at the Cape Light Compact, and Maggie Downey is the Cape Light Compact administrator. Hey, welcome, Joe and Maggie. You've both been on the program before, so I want to welcome you back.
Well, thank you, John.
Thank you, John.
It's a pleasure to have you. We want to get back to basics today. And so I'm going to start with you, Maggie, and ask you, really basically, who is the Cape Light Compact, and what is it that the Cape Light Compact does?
That's a great question, and I do agree that it's a very opportune time to start back at the beginning, which would, if I may, take us back to the 1990s. In 1994, let's go way back, mm-hmm. Barnstable County just completed a Barnstable County Energy Management Plan, and in that document, it recommended the formation of a town-wide county energy committee to look at energy issues on a regional basis. One of the key recommendations is to find out how the towns could administer the energy efficiency programs locally instead of, at that time, it was Comelectric.
Right.
Because they wanted to make sure that the funds that were collected from the ratepayers on our 15 Cape towns were reinvested and stayed on the Cape, as opposed to being put into a company that service territory included a much larger area, and there was no guarantee.
So there was concern that the money that being paid by Cape Cod ratepayers was not being spent on Cape Cod.
Most definitely, right. And when asked multiple times, the utility couldn't tell you where the money was spent. They could tell you that it was spent on residential customers, but they couldn't tell you if the money that the Cape paid in, they got back.
Okay.
So, and that was a big concern for our elected officials at the time. So they formed this Barnstable County Energy Management Committee, and at the time, the restructuring, simultaneously what was happening at the state level is there was a restructuring act, signed into law in November of 1997, and the restructuring act deregulated the electric utility industry. And basically what that did is said to the distribution companies, the NSTARs, the Comelect, and the Boston Edisons, that you shall no longer provide competitive supply and own generation plants. You will just be poles and wires company. So they were ordered to divest of all of their assets, to sell the Canal Electric plant and whatever else they owned, and to just be a poles and wires company. And there was a period known as standard offer, a 7-year period where prices were set artificially low to transition customers into the competitive market supply. Well, while that was happening at the state level, locally, this committee that was formed saw an opportunity. They saw two opportunities. They wanted the legislation to include language that would enable them to receive the energy efficiency funds and administer those funds on a regional basis for our Cape towns. So they worked with their elected officials, senator at the time, and representatives to include that language in the Restructuring Act. We also saw an opportunity to aggregate customers on an opt-out basis, meaning that you wouldn't have to go out and try and acquire customers, because the thinking at that time is customers one-on-one without having an aggregated load would not have much buying power. So we saw an opportunity to aggregate customers, and I'm using the collective we. This is we being the elected officials at
okay.
the time.
And the Cape Light Compact was made up mainly of volunteers once it was ultimately formed.
Actually, the original years, once the Cape... So anyway, the Restructuring Act passed, and
okay.
as part of the passage of that act, energy efficiency and power supply were linked.
Okay.
And
so you could not have one without offering the other.
That was further refined in the Department of Public Utilities, which was then Department of Telecommunications
right,
and
right.
Energy's order to the about how the Cape Light Compact could administer energy efficiency funds, you need to be establishing a load aggregation program. So we believe the DPU affirmed the linkage that you had to have be serving all customers through a power supply program in order to administer and run the energy efficiency program.
Okay, so a power supply program had to be offered, and energy efficiency funds came along. The administration of the energy efficiency funds came along with the power supply. You cannot have one without the other.
That's that is our understanding, okay. And I believe recently that was alluded to when a Cape Cod Times reporter contacted the DPU now,
okay,
looking for an answer to can they be separated.
Okay, so do you have a feel for how much money has been returned to Cape Cod in the time we've been doing this? It exceeds $100 million.
It is definitely in excess of $100 million that we have invested back into our Cape and now Vineyard towns in energy efficiency services. The three-year plan right now is an $83.5 million energy efficiency plan, and I would have to say it was prior to this three-year plan, it was over $100 million. So between now and 2016, you're looking at the Cape Light Compact returning $183 million
okay.
of ratepayer funds. Remember, we are going to pay this regardless of whether the Cape Light Compact is
whether we got it or not. We were going to pay it.
What the Cape Light Compact ensures is that those dollars are spent locally, they stay locally, and they're reinvested into our community.
Okay, so when we read in the paper that expected savings never materialized and electric savings not realized, there was a figure of $40 million thrown out as lost. Joe, can you address that? Is that $40 million figure accurate?
Actually, it isn't, John. And I had an opportunity to speak with the Cape Cod Times reporter afterward and reviewed with him the actual kilowatt hour sales over the 11 years that the Cape Light Compact has been in the power supply business. And the actual cost to consumers over that 11 years for the residential customers, which is the bulk and the majority of our load, is about through May of this year is $28.9 million. So if you look at that over an 11-year period, we cost consumers approximately 3/10 of a cent per kilowatt hour on average over all of those years. Now, having said that, cost of $28.9 million for power supply, the third leg of the stool, as we like to call it, that Maggie didn't mention, other than power supply and energy efficiency, is that the Cape Light Compact is also the consumer advocate for all of the customers on Cape Cod and Martha's Vineyard, so that they have a voice in Boston at the DPU in this unregulated market. Through our consumer advocacy efforts, because we do receive a mill adder on our price, which is 1/10 of a cent. We have been able to intervene in proceedings at the DPU, and through those proceedings over the 10 or 11 years, we have actually saved consumers about $142 million in costs that they would otherwise now be paying on their electric bills that they're not through our consumer advocacy efforts. So the way I look at it is we've cost $28.9 million on power supply, but we've saved you $142 million of costs that we've avoided for you that you're not paying. So it's
plus another $180 million of energy efficiency.
Right.
We're up over $300 million
right.
now. So
I kind of look at it as an investment as opposed to a cost. It's like saying, would you rather pay 50 cents more on your electric bill if I can save you $3 on your power supply piece, if I can save you $3 on your overall bill? And I don't know why anyone would have any issue with that type of an investment.
This is all getting a little confusing. And so what I'd like to boil it down, it actually isn't a cost. The $28 million was not lost. It was a choice that was offered to people, and that people have a choice. If they want to so-called play the market, if they want to look every 6 months when these prices come out, make a telephone call, they can switch from one to another. they'll only save about $1 or maybe $2 on their electric bill. But if you want to do it, it's available to you.
John, if I may, just want to clarify that that savings of, you know, $1 to $2 is a residential customer's
right.
electric bill. We're not talking about a commercial account.
I expect our audience is mostly residential.
There you go. But what's important
yeah.
is that when you look at what the towns created, and the Cape Light Compact is the towns. It's not a separate entity.
Right.
It's made up of the towns and counties of Cape Cod and Martha's Vineyard. Is they came together regionally to do many things through the compact and as a municipal aggregator, power supply being just one of them. And you can't carve out one without looking at it as a whole, which is what you were just talking
right.
about in the savings. And it's very important to let customers know that they can choose to select another competitive supplier. They are out there. They solicit, you see them out, you get
sure.
from your airlines
yeah,
to
absolutely.
Your gas companies,
credit
companies,
card companies yeah.
for gas, I mean
right.
gas as in filling up
right.
your tank gas, are looking and trying to acquire customers. And that's a good thing. This is a competitive
right.
market. I would never want anyone to think that they had no choice, that they can choose to stay with the Cape Light Compact, but they don't have to stay
right.
with the Cape Light Compact.
I would just say staying with the Cape Light Compact is safe. It's the Joe reads the contracts. We lawyers read the contracts. There's you can get contracts in the mail, often called teaser rates, that look awfully good for the first few months, and they may or may not be good in the long term. So if you're so inclined to read the contracts, then you can shop around for electricity. That's a good thing. Competition. The basic service rate when we first got started was actually quite high, and we were limited as to who we were even allowed to offer the Cape Light Compact rate to, and people were clamoring to get on it, because once competition set in, the price of the power supply portion of the electricity was a half to two-thirds of what it was otherwise. So competition, if nothing else, it regulates the price. And if you're a sharp consumer, and if you're so inclined, and if you've got the time, then you can shop it. If you don't have the time, you're pretty safe, because all of the, what I refer to as gopher holes that you may step in, have been pulled out in the Cape Light Compact's contract, and there may be a small cost to that.
John, I think if consumers want to spend the time to look at what's available in the marketplace, there's a couple of places they can go. They can go to the Department of Energy Resources website, which is mass.gov/EEA. It has a list of all the competitive suppliers that serve different rate classes, whether it's commercial or residential. They can call the suppliers, they can get their current rate. We also, on our website, have our rates, obviously. We also post our rates every 6 months in all of the newspapers on the Cape and Vineyard. One of the things that we do try to do to help consumers when they're looking for power supply is to advise them of certain things that they should look out for.
Right.
For instance, the ability for a consumer, for a company to charge a consumer an exit fee. We've seen $50 if you leave before your contract. The ability to pass through costs that are not a cost that's being charged to the supplier at the time they enter into an agreement with the consumer that they can pass through. We've done a video on our website to help consumers look at these issues to make sure that when they go into a supply contract with a competitive supplier, that they are willing to accept things like exit fees, pass-through costs, and to make sure that they're comparing the prices on an apples-to-apples basis. Because really, you know, each individual home, based on their own economics, has to manage and negotiate their power supply. And a lot of customers don't do that. They'll get a phone call. They might do something on impulse, not realizing that the rate they've been charged or going to be charged is only fixed for 2 or 3 months, and then they go on a variable month-to-month rate. And if you're in July and August with the heat that we've had recently, their monthly bills will be extremely high, as they would be in January and February, the other two very high months of the year.
So in a nutshell, it's a risk. It's a risk that may or may not pay off, like all risks. And the Cape Light Compact basically provides kind of a safe haven for people that don't want to play the market, because the money that you can get playing the market is only a few dollars a month at the very best, if you're lucky.
We would also, I would be remiss, John, if I also didn't say that you talk about a safe bet. There is, you know, the elephant in the room, which is the distribution company,
right,
which is NSTAR's rates and the constant comparing of a competitive supplier like the Compact to the distribution company's rates. And remember, under the Restructuring Act, they're not supposed to be in the supply business.
Right.
They were to be phased out after 7 years, and you would have full competitive markets. Well, regulations that have occurred in transit during this period don't support that. And what we have now is a little bit of a dysfunctional competitive market, mm-hmm, where you have a distribution companies still providing the bulk of service to residential customers, and institutionally they have advantages over competitive supply that make it challenging, and which is part of the reason why looking at the Compact as a requirement to beat the distribution company doesn't make sense, because the distribution company was never supposed to be there.
Right. Right. And so, but take competition out and the price is apt to drift right back up again, because there's nothing to hold. Without competition, the price doesn't get held down. It could be, but it doesn't have to be. It's just whatever it is, it is. I mean, I could have gone to my gas station last week and filled my tank up for less than what I did it for today. I can't look at the gas station that's selling the cheaper gas and say, well, you were selling it for this last month, why can't I have it for this month? It just doesn't work that way.
Well, to go back to that, from what you just said about competition, setting, requiring competitive suppliers to be compared or to be lower and beat a distribution company that has regulatory and structural advantage is setting up the industry to fail.
Right.
The true lens to examine the Cape Light Compact is to the competitive market. It's difficult because it hasn't fully evolved. But if you look back in comparing it to pricing the distribution company, yes, there have been costs overall since we've been providing them, but those are explained by, I think, by structural and institutional advantages.
Right.
And as Joe's talked about, hurricanes. But the real, to get to the meat of the issue here, you have to acknowledge that the Cape Light Compact has been able to be under, even with structural advantages,
sure,
to the distribution company, we have been able to be lower. So I think that it is uncharacteristically kind of like spinning how the industry is supposed to work when you,
right,
compare prices to the distribution.
I think it's fair to say the Cape Light Compact price should be compared to competitive suppliers' prices, apples to apples. If the distribution company offers a price and that price happens to be low and they happen to lose money, they can go back to the Department of Public Utilities and say, we lost money, we want it back. And they get it back through the other side of the bill. So let's move on to how the Compact goes. The Cape Light Compact does not generate electricity. It goes out into the markets and buys it. How do you go about doing that, Joe?
The Compact really uses a pretty competitive selection process to choose a supplier. And it's really the efforts of a team. It's myself as the power supply planner, Maggie as the administrator. We have our legal counsel involved. We have an independent energy consultant who's spent many years in the business negotiating power supply contracts. And we even involve some members of our governing board. The process usually starts with a request.
And the governing board, just if I could interject, those are volunteers from each of the towns.
The governing board of the Cape Light Compact is comprised of one representative for each of the 15 towns on the Cape, the 7 on Martha's Vineyard, and the
county.
The two counties, Dukes County and on. So we have 23 representatives, and they meet periodically and set the direction, approve the budgets, our operating budgets, and so forth.
And some of them sit on the committee that selects the power supplier.
I'll just clarify. Yeah, okay, sure. It's not a committee. Okay. It's under the procurement office. The statute govern these are, they advise me as chief procurement officer.
Right.
And they're there because they've had experience. They've either built power plants, they've negotiated power supply. Remember, there are 23 members of the governing board, and we involved a handful, three members who have the experience and the time commitment, because as Joe said, these involve significant amount of time negotiating contracts. So they are volunteering above and beyond sitting on the board to assist the selection of a competitive power supply.
Okay. Okay,
The entire process, John, probably takes, I would say, on the average, 3 to 4 months. We start out with a request for proposals. We have potential suppliers signing confidentiality agreements. They are then given a competitive electric supply agreement that we negotiate individually with each of them, pretty much to get to the same point, to protect consumers against a lot of issues, pass-throughs, that sort of thing. We get the proposals, we do the evaluations, we bring the potential suppliers in for interviews where the team asks questions, they provide a presentation on their proposal. We go through a lengthy evaluation process, and on a consensus basis, the team selects the competitive supplier based on the requirements of the request for proposals. And once we've done that, we then move to contract execution.
Okay, so the Cape Light Compact then signs a contract, or you notify the Department of Public Utilities. How does that work? Do they have to approve it first, or no? You sign a contract and then notify them that
One of the conditions of the approval of our aggregation plan and our initial form of contract was that we were not required to provide contracts to the DPU for approval. We've provided every competitive electric supply agreement that we've entered into to the department on an informational basis. If we've done an extension to a contract, we've also provided that information. The items that are kept confidential are the pricing and security terms. But we have provided on an informational basis all of our contracts, even though we're not required to the Department of Public Utilities over the years.
I know it changes. But do you have a feel for how many other competitive suppliers there may be out there that are offering service to Cape Cod? 5 or 6, maybe?
I would say there's about...
I mean, I get stuff in my mail.
Five.
Yeah, okay.
Actually, correct. There's a Viridian,
Dominion,
Constellation, though I haven't seen them recently. They are your credit card companies, your United Airlines. A lot of the airlines are doing that.
Energy Plus.
Marriott, I think, does it.
Marriott
Rewards.
So there are options, and there are for customers who wish to select a competitive supplier.
Okay. So there's just lots of opportunity out there for people that really want to but they got a safe haven, and the safe haven is called the Cape Light Compact Power Supply.
It's a risk-free fixed price, and there are no pass-throughs. A customer can leave our supply. They can opt out, no charge. They can come back to our supply. The only criteria is that our supplier has to accept them, but I've never known of a case where a residential or commercial customer was denied to come back. One thing I will mention, though, for instance, a lot of people aren't aware, if you're on NSTAR's basic service and you leave in the middle of a fixed price period, what NSTAR does is they, in their final bill, they'll do a true up, and they will put you from the fixed price from the beginning of that you had from the beginning of the period to when you left. They change that to what the month-to-month variable price was, and you'll either get a credit or a debit on your final bill.
So
there is some
a bit of risk on that.
There is a bill. Last billing.
Okay.
Which is not the case with the Cape Light Compact.
Right.
I just want to make that clear. We don't do a true up, and you don't get a final bill in that manner. So it's, again, just another piece of information that customers in the market need to be aware of.
Okay. So what are the compact's prices for the second half of the year, and how do they compare to the market?
The Cape Light Compact's prices for the July 2013 meter read dates through January 2014 have gone up, John, from the first half of the year. The current prices are 8.129 cents per kilowatt hour for a residential customer and 8.044 cents for a small commercial and industrial customer. Our prices increased about 5.9% over the first half of the year for a residential customer and about 4.6% for a commercial. If you look at NSTAR's prices, they also increased from the first half to the second half, and their prices went up slightly more than ours. Theirs went up 5.4% for a commercial customer and 6.7% for a residential customer.
Okay, we're getting close to the end of the program, so there's a couple things I want to address before we wrap up. We hear a lot about natural gas and its availability and there's lots of it available. Why is it that prices are going up, even though the price of electricity is going up, even though the price of natural gas is going down, when natural gas is such an important component of what makes up electricity?
I think a lot of consumers associate the price of natural gas, the commodity, with electricity pricing. That is partially true. And if you'll recall, back in 2008, natural gas prices were $13, $14 per million BTU. In April of 2012, they were under $2 per million BTU. They're now running about $3.50 per million BTU. Still relatively cheap.
Yeah, we're way off the highs.
In 2008, yeah. But it's gone up.
Right.
But in addition to the price of the commodity, you also have to take into consideration the price to deliver the natural gas
to the meter
into New England.
Yeah.
And that's called the basis. And the constraints on the pipeline and infrastructure system this past winter were extremely strained, so that the basis price, the delivery price, was very volatile, and because you can only push so much gas through a pipe before you strain it.
Okay.
We're starting to see the same issues this summer. So, yes, natural gas prices have gone up, but they're still very stable and relatively inexpensive compared to what they used to be. But it's the delivery of the natural gas, that component of the price, that has really
pipeline hasn't kept up with the demand.
Right, and we have really no new infrastructure that's come in to deliver this great shale gas that comes in from the West. So when you look at the electricity prices, you have to look at the total cost of natural gas delivered to New England, not just the commodity piece of it.
Okay, we just have a few seconds left, and one thing I want to make sure is that we give the 800 number for the Cape Light Compact, so that anyone that has any questions about anything that's been delivered or anything that's been discussed here today, they're going to want to call that number. So, Joe, you've got a power supply number. Let's have the number for power supply.
The power supply number is 800-381-9192.
All right. You've been listening to Cape Light Compact Focus on Energy, timely topics on energy matters of interest to the Cape Cod community. If you have questions or topics you'd like us to address on future programs, you can email us at focus@capelightcompact.org or call 1-800-797-6699 and let us know. You can also visit our website at www.capelightcompact.org. If you have questions on today's topic, the power supply, you can also call 1-800-381-9192. Again, that's 1-800-381-9192. I'd like to thank my guest, Joe Sorries, Senior Power Supply Planner at the Cape Light Compact, and Maggie Downey, the Cape Light Compact's Administrator. I'd also like to thank our engineer, Maddie Dunn, the Station Operations Manager, for his good work in getting the program out to you. Cape Light Compact Focus on Energy is broadcast from the historic schoolhouse in Provincetown, WOMR 92.1, and in Orleans, WFMR 91.3 on your FM dial. It's also streamed on the World Wide Web at www.womr.org. I'm your host, John Burns. Thank you very much for listening. Please join us again next month, same time, same stations, and remember, use energy wisely. It's a precious and increasingly scarce resource. Thank you.